So I want to just take a few minutes and I want to talk about this idea of this baby Jesus. Did he just come to be a baby, or did he come to be a king? And the Bible declares that this baby came to be a king. Praise God. And the interesting thing is, most people, when you think about Christmas and everything that what we just did, it's probably the last thing that I have on my mind. Jesus came as king. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that. So would you open up your Bibles to John chapter 19? And you know, the really interesting thing about this scripture, John 19:19, it was written 2,000 years ago. And if you think about this Bible that you have, there's scriptures in there, there are verses in there that were written 2,000, 4,000 years ago. It's just kind of wild, isn't it? So John, you all at John chapter 19. If you didn't bring a Bible, they'll pop that on the screen, okay? So at this point, they're about ready to crucify Jesus. And it goes like this, John 19:19. Now Pilate wrote this title and put it on the cross, and it said in writing, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Jews. Everybody say King.
King.
Yep. So it's real interesting if you follow that all the way back then. Pilate really wasn't a big follower, fan of Jesus, was he? Not at all. And yet, what did he put on the cross above Jesus' head? A sign that said, King of the Jews. So Jesus came to be king. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you again, just with our hearts full of joy, because we've had just a wonderful time so far. But Father, we open up our hearts, and we thank you that you would give revelation of even more depth of what this baby who was called king came to do and what he is still planning to do. So we open our eyes. I thank you for revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Turn over to Isaiah, Old Testament, Isaiah 9. Pastor Sherry read this. It's kind of probably on everybody's Christmas card. But open up to Isaiah 9:6. Now, this scripture was written hundreds and hundreds of years before what we just read in John. And listen to what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, and I like this part, Prince of Peace. And we're going to talk a lot about that later on, okay? And verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I probably have about 5 sermons that you could preach on this, but I just really want to just look at some one things here. So here we have this baby that was born. This is the Christmas season. That's what we celebrate, okay? And it's really interesting to talk to people. And I kind of did a survey this week in all the different places I had to go. I just kind of interview, what are your thoughts about Christmas? And you know, some people are like, oh, Christmas, amazing. And they start telling me these stories about all these great things that they think about Christmas. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Everything from family, friends, food, and silly Uncle Joe that comes, and you know, Aunt Susie and all this stuff. So some people have this attitude, Christmas, amazing. And yet there are other peoples that think this is not the most wonderful time of the year, all right? And there's reasons why. But when you think about Jesus, when you think about Jesus and this Christmas season, what do you think about? And you know, as I was interviewing or taking surveys with people, a lot of people said, oh, Jesus, you know, what's the first thing that pops to your mind when you say Jesus and Christmas? And so many people said, Jesus, Savior. How many of you would have said that, right? Or Jesus, my friend. Somebody said that when I was interviewing. Jesus, wonderful. Jesus, the teacher. Jesus, just my healer, all right? So those are all different names that people, when I interviewed them, said, this is what I think about Jesus. But the most amazing thing was, really the last name that ever pops into someone's head is Jesus King. And this is the reason why Jesus came. Not this cute little baby, but I'm very glad, you know, that he was born a baby. But the purpose was he came to be a king. So when you think about a king, I have to think about a kingdom. And if you think about a kingdom, I hope there's some people. Well, Jesus came to be a king of a kingdom, and we get to be invited into that kingdom, right? So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here. Well, let me back up here a little bit. So it was interesting when I talked to people about, you know, what are your thoughts about Christmas? And for some people, it isn't the most wonderful time. For some people, something happened either at Christmas or that year, and it just floods back some negative thoughts, just some bad things. And, you know, I've experienced them, probably you have. And, you know, one person, they were just telling me about this big blow-up that just divided a family all around Christmas, right? And yet, Jesus came to be a king, and he came to offer us a better life than maybe what we're living. So how many of you could be in for that? I know. I'm in for it. And you know, if you look at what the world's offering right now, oh man, it's not the most fantastic time of the year, and it's got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you just have to spend one day, 1 hour, and listen to the news, and there is a lot of stuff going on, and you can be like, whoa, this is like, wow, you know? But Jesus came to be a king, and he came to be over a kingdom, and he came to have people in his kingdom, and he came for us for that. Now, go back to Isaiah. We're going to spend a lot of time, so keep your finger in there. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I love this part when he said he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So, why did Jesus come? He came to give peace. All right? And you might look across the world, but there's big levels to that. He came to bring peace to you, all right? And then the rest of that says, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David over his kingdom. So again, Jesus came to be a king over a kingdom, and you've been invited into that kingdom. So when, you know, you think about this king that came, do you think, whoa, there's a king? You know, and when Jesus was walking around on the earth, do you think that people were like, oh, there's a king? You know, they didn't understand a hoot what Jesus was here for, all right? Some people, they just totally just misunderstood him. They weren't walking around and going, oh, look at him. Whoa, that's some king. They did not understand why this king was on the earth. So my question is, why did Jesus come? Why was he king, and what was he going to offer? What's the end results of why he came? So I have five things, and I'm going to answer that question. So if you're taking notes, you can jot this down. If not, you can go online and watch it again. So why did Jesus come? Why was he king? Why did he come? The first thing, and you write this down, he came to seek and save those that were lost. He came to seek and save those that were lost. Now, I don't know about you, but you probably didn't wake up this morning and go, oh, I'm lost. All right, anybody? No. Most people in the world don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I'm lost, okay? The world's not doing that. But I will tell you this. I know in my life, years ago, I woke up one day and I knew I was lost. I knew I needed help. Did anybody ever have one of those moments? I knew I was lost, I needed help. Phew. All right. So I knew I was lost, and I knew I needed help, and I knew I needed a change. Anybody ever figure that one out? I need a change in my life? Okay. My life was going on a path. My life was going on a road. And if I continued on this road, if I did not have someone to come and save me, I was on a crash and burn. Anybody else on a road like that? Well, I was on that road. And I came to a point where I just said, I need a savior. I need help. I am a mess. All right, so turn over to Luke, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. This is what it says. This is red letter. This is Jesus talking. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to do what? Seek. What else? Save that which is lost. Okay? And maybe you're like me. Okay, and maybe you're not like me, but I had a day where I knew I was lost and I needed someone to help. I desperately did. And you know, I also, after I accepted Jesus, I thought, oh Lord Jesus, I am one big hot mess. You know, anybody else was a big hot mess? Okay, and then I've had people come to me and they go, oh no, Pastor D, I was the biggest, hottest mess. Okay, I've had people say, I was the worst of the worst. Okay, and they just disqualify themselves for why Jesus came for them in life. So open up to 1 Timothy. So if you're one of those that think I am the worst of the worst or I'm the biggest of the hottest messes, no, you're not. Listen to this. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is written by a guy named Paul. He was an apostle, probably one of, in my opinion, one of the greatest apostles, all right? And he just wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. That's pretty good. But listen to what he has to say. Ready? 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus Christ came into the world to do what? Save sinners. This saying is true. Now, this is Paul saying this. This saying is true, and it can be trusted because I was the worst of them all. So if you think you were the worst of the worst, Paul apparently topped it. All right, and I don't know if you've ever played sports, and you know you watch this track person, and all of a sudden they announce they just broke this world's record, amazing. Well, there's somebody always better, and that means there's somebody worse than you. So don't disqualify yourself. All right. So let's read verse 16. But since I was the worst, as my kids would say, worser, since I was worse than anyone else, listen to this, God had mercy on me and let me be an example of his endless patience of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. He did this so others, raise your hand if you're another, that's me, so others would put their faith in Christ and have eternal life. And I pray that honor and glory will always be given to the only God who lives forever, and listen to this part, and is the invisible and eternal God. Praise God. So this is what we know about Jesus. Ready? You don't see him. He's invisible. But he is king. Amen? He's king, and he is in heaven. Now, so again, why did Jesus come? Number one, ready? Everybody say, to seek and save those who are lost. He also came to call us to repentance. To call us to repentance. So if you're writing notes, number two, to call to repentance. Repentance is kind of a church word, all right? You probably didn't go to the break room this past Friday if you were at work and sat around and talked about repentance. I don't think you did. Maybe a few of you. Okay, but the world, that's not a word that they sit around and have conversations. It's really of a church word, but it's a very important word. So if you're taking notes, let me tell you what it means. To turn, to change direction that you were going in. All right, so y'all know about this, okay? You get in your car, you have to go someplace. I press all the buttons. Google Maps, I need to go to 2019 Schaefer Circle. That's my address, okay? Okay, but let's just play. Okay, so I punch it in, and I think I am following the screen here, and then, but I'm really not, and then pretty soon this voice goes, exit now! Now! Why? Because I was going the wrong direction. And Christine and I took a road trip to Connecticut. We heard that voice a lot. Okay, going the wrong direction, all right? But listen, all of us know what that means, to turn, to go in a different direction than you were. Okay, that's what repentance means. So, but here's the thing. I think people think coming into a relationship with Jesus that it's too hard. It's too much. God, this is too much. But I want to tell you something. God said it was too much, and it was Jesus said it was too much. It wasn't too much for you. Jesus did the too much. I'm so grateful. Jesus did the too much, so I didn't have to do the too much. The too much was he came to this earth. He let people know that he was the king, and they misunderstood him, and they put him on a cross that he had to go for you and I. He did the too much. And I am so grateful. So he did the too much. So in fact, listen to Mark chapter 2. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. So this story is Jesus is having dinner with Levi. Levi is a tax collector. Levi's not the favorite on anybody's list if you are a Jew. Okay, he's the guy that collects taxes. Most of you probably say that about, you know, those IRS, right? Right? Okay, so Jesus is having dinner with Levi, and Levi invites all his friends. Well, guess what? All his friends were those kind of guys that nobody really liked, and they were kind of despicable, right? So he's having dinner, and the religious big boys hear about this, and they come in, and they have some opinions. So they start talking to Jesus' disciples, okay? And Jesus, of course, overhears this. I can just hear him. Okay, and listen to what he says. Mark 2:17. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance." Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Praise God. So one day in my life, I knew I was a sinner. And I needed to repent. And maybe that happened to some of y'all in here, all right? Now, you know what's really sad, though? Maybe you used to be one of those that followed Jesus. And then, you know, things happened and distractions happened. And now you're not one of those followers, okay? But here's the good news. Today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, you know what? Lord, I'm tired of this life. And I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn my directions. I'm going to turn the way I live my life. And I'm coming back. I'm going to recommit my life. So I believe God's speaking to hearts. In a few moments, I'll give you an opportunity to do that. But here, why did Jesus come? He came to seek and save those who are lost. He came to call us to repentance. And here's number three, to bear witness. He came to bear witness to the truth. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's people out all over the place, and, you know, I'll tell them something about the Word of God, and they're like, you know, Pastor D, I got my own truth. I'm like, what? Usually I'm pretty nice about it. Oh, okay. But, you know, there's just people now. Anybody hear people? Oh, I got my own truth. Okay. Well, here's what I want to tell you. Jesus has something to say about that, so turn back to, or turn over to John 18. John 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. I got my own truth. Huh. You know, the head goes, okay? John 18, 37. Pilate, that's the same Pilate that we just read about a couple chapters before. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, to him, and he goes to Jesus, this is before he's going to crucify him, "Are you a king then?" Okay? And Jesus answered, "You say rightly, right, that I am a king. For this cause," what cause? The cause is Jesus came to be a king. "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come to the world, that I should bear witness." The Amplified, I love it, says, "I could testify that I can give evidence. For this cause I came to give evidence of the truth, that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Wow. So, This world, it's really popular to say, I have my own truth, okay? But you know what Jesus says? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and this is the truth. No one comes to the Father except through and by Jesus, right? That's the truth. And you know, I've had people just get in my face and say, "You know, Pastor D, you're very narrow in your thinking." Oh, yeah. And I go, "No, I won't say it." And I, they say, "You need to widen your thinking." I've had believers say that because they have had their own truth. Okay? But this is what Jesus said. Narrow is the way, right? Narrow is the way, okay? And they might think there's many ways, but Jesus says narrow is the way to the Father, narrow is the way to the Son, narrow is the way to salvation, and there's only one way. And he said, "I came to be the one narrow way. I am the truth, I am the life, and the way, and no one comes to my Father except through and by me." So, that is so good. So why did Jesus come? All right, here's number four. He came to bring peace. I don't know about you, but it's crazy out there, and this is a good time to know about peace. All right, and people are going through a lot of stuff. People are going through a lot of stuff. And we've got people, if you're joining us online, you're going through a lot of stuff. And I think back to it's almost a year and a half ago the Ukraine war started. I have a friend who has his wife's relatives live in the Ukraine, and they were in the middle of this. And they're going through some stuff. And I was like, you know, because it wasn't close. Okay, and then this thing in October with Israel, all right? And being the girl that grew up in North Jersey, I have friends whose families are in Israel. And all of a sudden, I'm really aware that people are going through stuff. People are going through stuff, all right? But here's the good news. Jesus came. That's the good news. And here's one of the main reasons. It's not the only reason, but Jesus came to bring peace. Everybody say peace. I was saying that this morning with all the hubbub, getting this thing going. Jesus, you came to give peace. Amen. But you know, there's big things. So turn back to Isaiah chapter 9. I told you we're going to flip back there. All right? Because it says, Jesus says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Okay. So real basic here. Y'all have a Bible, right? The first half, we call it the Old Testament. The first half is written in Hebrew. Now, mine is not, okay? It's in English, but the original is written in Hebrew. And the second half, we call the New Testament, is written in original. The original is written in Greek. So going back to this Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where his name will be called Prince of Peace, in the Hebrew, Prince of peace, well, peace we know, shalom, all right, that's the Hebrew word for peace, but the Hebrew word for prince is sar, S-A-R, and you're probably thinking, well, glad that floats your boat, Pastor D, big deal. Well, this next part's a big deal. Listen to this, sar shalom, prince of peace, this is what it means, the one who removes all peace-disturbing factors and secures peace, the prince of peace. So, how do I live in this world that we can have stuff just hitting us all over the place? How do I live in this world and have peace? There's some days I'm asking that question. I do have the answer, though. I have to remind myself. So, how do I live in this world? Well, we have somebody who came to remove the disturbing things and to secure peace. We have someone, his name is Jesus, he is King, and he came to secure our peace, even though all around us, okay, some of you get into church this morning, right? Yeah, I'm like, where the heck is the peace, okay? But he is the one who removes the disturbing things, even though going around us, and within us, he has given peace. Put your hand on your belly and say, I've got peace. I've got peace, right? So, back to Isaiah 9, the last verse 7. Of his increase, his government and peace, there will be no end. This is the thing I found out about God. This is the thing I found out about Jesus. He came to bring peace. And he doesn't run out of it. Oh, I ran out of peace yesterday. Sorry, you can just be spazzed out. No, I read this, and there's no end to his peace. I love that, okay? So no matter what you're going through, no matter in the tragedies that are happening around you or in your world, no matter what's going on, and you're like, I need help, Jesus came to seek and save those who's lost. He came to bring us to repentance. He came to bear witness of the truth, and he came to give peace. Shh, thank you, Jesus, all right? And here's my last one, and we'll close. Jesus the King came to give eternal life. Write that down. Jesus the King came to give eternal life. Now, when you hear the word eternal, that's another one of those church words that go buzzing. Oops, here we go. Alrighty. All right. So what does it mean to be for eternal? It means life that's forever. Everybody say forever. So the day you take your last breath is not your last day. The day you take your last breath is not your last day, because life is forever. Okay? And that is why Jesus came. Jesus came to make sure that you have a forever that's better than maybe the life that you're living now. Jesus came to give you a forever, all right? And someday, all of us are going to take this last breath, okay? And you get to, or we get to, determine here and now on this planet our forever. You get to determine your forever while you're on this planet, while you're on this earth, okay? Now, and I got to say this, you know, I care so much about you as pastor that I am going to take time to talk about this forever, this eternity, because I care so much. So turn over to John 3:16. Now, if you're a football fan or a basketball fan, the last couple of years, if you watch, I'm going to go to a real game. Like, I'm going. And I'm not going to be in the nosebleed. So if you have tickets, take me, okay? I am. I'm going to be right in the middle of it. But you'll see people with these signs. Have you seen this? What do they have signs? And what does it say? John 3:16. Anybody have seen people with the signs? Now, believe it or not, not everybody knows what that means. So they're like, Google, what does that mean? Okay? They do. They go, Google, what does that mean? Okay? So let's read this together, because probably if you've been raised in church, this is probably the first scripture you learned. But let's read it together. I got it up here? Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See that everlasting life? Shoo! Okay, so every one of us will take our last breath someday. All right? Okay? And we will have everlasting life. So jump down to John chapter 17. I want to read this. John 17, verse 3. John 17, 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you. This is Jesus saying, this is eternal life, that you may know God. This is eternal life, that you may know God. The only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent to this earth. All right, last scripture, and then we'll close with some prayer, but John 3:36. This scripture, jot this down. This tells you how, all right? So I love when someone says, just tell me how. This is a scripture that tells you how to have eternal life, John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, life eternal. He who believes in the Son, all right? And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I want everyone to have eternal life. God wants every person to have eternal life. Okay? And listen, the world's got some interesting ideas about eternal life, okay? But this is the truth. This is the truth. The only one that will give you eternal life, and his name is Jesus, right? So I want to close, and just not only does Jesus come to bring peace, but Jesus comes to bring hope. All right? Hope. All right? So, hope. The hope of the world is not church. Though I love when you attend. There's great things. The hope of the world is not YCF. I think this is awesome. The hope of the world is not me. I may be awesome, but I am not the hope of the world. Who is the hope of the world? There's only one. His name is Jesus. And Jesus came to give hope to a world. Amen? So, what does he want to do? What does this king want to do? He wants to come and have a relationship with every single person. He wants to have a relationship with you just as much as he wants to have a relationship with me. And you know, I've had people walk into church, and this goes on, and it kind of varies how they say this, but I'll never forget this one guy. And I was talking about, hey, you know, why don't you come to church? And he said, Pastor D, if I walk into church, the ceiling will fall down. Like, what? Okay. And you know, they come and the ceiling didn't fall down. So get rid of that excuse. or Pastor D, you know, I'm the worst of the worsters on the planet. Nope, 1 Timothy says you're not. Get rid of that excuse, okay? But I want you to know that Jesus came so that you could have a relationship with him, that you could have everlasting life, that you could have peace and all of this. So I just want to pray for everybody here, just real quick, just for a moment. If you're here and you would like to pray this prayer and just receive this Jesus, who this is what Christmas is really about. This is it, you know, the lights and all the stuff. But it's this Jesus who came to offer each person eternal life, right? So now remember, we talked about this word repentance. What did it mean? To turn, to go in a different direction. So that's what you're going to say if you would like to receive Jesus. I'm going to turn. I'm going to go in a different direction. Who's the direction you're going to go to? Jesus, the one and only. Okay, and if you're here today and you're like, man, I am on the wrong road, I want to tell you, I was on the wrong road, okay? And I was on this road, and Jesus just captivated my heart. Cried out, and I said, if you're real, I can't take this anymore. And I'll tell you what, not only was I wanting eternal life, but I wanted a relationship. So if you're here today and you would like to have a relationship, because that's why Jesus came, I want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor D, I used to, you know, I prayed that prayer like you're talking about, that I asked Jesus to come into my life, but, you know, I'm in the wrong direction. Well, good. How about we get in the right direction? So I would like to pray with everybody, or anybody and everybody about that, all right? So I'm just going to ask you just for a few moments just to bow your heads, close your eyes, okay? So if you're here and you would say, Jesus, I want to come into a relationship with you. I need you. I desire you. Or you're like, Pastor, Lord Jesus, I'm on the wrong road and I want to recommit my life to turn and repent and get back here. So I want to pray this with you. You know, but let me say this before we pray. And it's, you know, it can be a cliche that we slap on the back of everything, but I truly mean this. God loves you. And no matter what you've done, God still loves you. He's not like Santa Claus. Not getting any toys, all right? God loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. He loves you. All right, so let's just open our hearts. All right. So if you're here and you would like to just ask Jesus to come into your life, fill your life, receive eternal life, start a relationship with him, I would like you to pray this prayer with me. Or if you're here and you've just gone on a road, like you've turned left and it's time to turn right, would you pray this prayer with me? And just say this from your heart. Matter of fact, we're all going to say this. We're just all going to say this so nobody feels, okay? But here you go. Everybody say, Father, I realize I'm a sinner. And I'm far from God. I need a Savior, and I repent of my sins. Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior. I believe you're the Son of God, and you died for mankind and me. You are the only way to the Father. And right now, I ask you to come into my life. If you prayed that prayer, you're now a child of God. And he's got a good road for you to walk on. He's got a great road. You're a child of God, and heaven is our final breath. But while you're here today, he wants to walk with you and talked with you and be involved in your life. So if you prayed that prayer, woohoo! Amen, 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 amen. You know, the Bible says that all of heaven just goes wah, crazy when one person. So let's just say thank you. Thank you. Wow. We are so excited. We are so excited. We are so excited. Hey, we are so excited if you prayed that prayer. And after church, we have some altar ministries, which after church is my altar ministries can come up. But we have a Bible. That's how you know how God wants you to talk to you, all right? So we want to give you a Bible, and we got some other things, and we'll pray with you. If there's anybody else that would like prayer, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. We'd love to pray with you. But why don't you all stand up? Amen. Father, I thank you for everyone in this place, everyone that's joined us online. I thank you, Father, that this is the season to receive a king, and I thank you, King Jesus, for coming and changing our lives. And I thank you, Father, that as we go, we remember we are the light for a world that needs you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stick around. Don't